is happening, fellow fantasy GMs? I am JJ Wang. He is the bearded one, DJ Dove. And with our powers combined, we are the Fantasy Couriers.
What a crazy time of year we have here, JJ Wang. It's like Christmas for anybody whose team actually spends money or decides they want to mess up the future.
That's how you want to take your team. I feel like teams are a little more riskier these days than they were in the past. I feel like money is no longer an issue. I don't think money's ever really been an issue, but money doesn't seem to be a real issue these days. The only issue that there seems to be is whether or not the quarterbacks are going to get
guaranteed.
So that's the only issue that they're having. But other than that, like, the money is just being thrown all over the place.
And then, as you were saying last week, it's all like make-believe money everywhere. Somehow a team's $30 billion under the cap, and they're $20
billion. The money's not make-believe. The salary cap is make-believe.
How they pay people. Yeah,
the money's definitely real.
I mean, realistically, if I'm reading it right, if they just say, hey, everybody, you get a signing bonus, and you have a money that you could do forever. That looks like that's what happens when they redo all these contracts. You get a signing bonus. So why don't you just pay everybody in signing bonuses? You could have the New York Yankees.
I mean, you would think, but I don't know how it works. But I mean, whatever they're doing, it's working. So.
Yeah, it's making it more interesting for some teams. I should look deeper to see which teams are kind of here looking at it going, man, last week really was terrible. It stunk. It was garbage. It wasn't anything fine. And some teams aren't looking at it from the fantasy perspective. Like my most exciting move as a Dolphins fan was getting Ramsey from the Rams, which we'll see what we can get. But there's other picks in there. But we are the Fantasy Couriers. You can hit us up anywhere you want to on the internet, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, pop stuff on there. Hit us on Spotify, give it a little click there, give us a follow. We're getting up there, we're getting closer bit by bit. Tell your friends, share with your friends. We're not going anywhere, we're gonna have some fun. We were sitting there, we had the show planned out, and there was just so many cool free agents and new locations that we decided, let's make it 2 weeks. So this week, we're going to talk about pass catchers. Next week, we're going to talk about the people that line up behind center, quarterbacks and running backs. And then who knows, maybe as an Easter treat, we'll do you a good old-fashioned draft. People loved those episodes. Those are our highest off-season listen-to episodes, our mock draft. It's interesting to see as we go through, but JJ Wang, I got some breaking news. We'll start with that. It's from your old favorite team in the NFL. I had it pulled up the exact things, but Brandon Cooks is going to be a Dallas Cowboy. It looks like his $18 million fully guaranteed salary. They were talking last year, but he got traded for a fifth and a sixth round pick. And Houston's going to eat a part of his salary. They're eating $6 million in salary to do this trade. And the sixth round's in 24. Makes sense of this.
I mean, as a football fan, or as a guy watching from the outside, I mean, it's kind of hard for us to make sense about because we don't know what these goes through these minds. I mean, but Brandon Cook, I mean, this has been Brandon Cook his whole career, right? So that kind of makes sense. I mean, he doesn't stay with a team for very long. This is probably what, like a sixth team, seventh team. So, as far as the fifth or sixth round, he's an older receiver. He was okay last year. Decent deep threat, but good thing for Brandon Cook, he doesn't have to go far. It's just right down the road, so it's not like he has to, you know, completely reroute his family. So I mean, I guess it works for both teams. I mean, Texans are trying to get younger. Cowboys need offensive playmakers, and he's still an offensive playmaker.
I might be correct. I think that Houston deal he just signed is the only time he's ever signed a contract. I believe he's been traded all that times.
The only time
he hasn't been traded based on or something to that effect. But he's probably the most traded guy I've ever seen in real life football.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And he's also good. It's not like
he didn't get traded because he's a terrible human. Usually you get rid of the junk, but he's just good trade bait. He adds, I don't know. Like he's been decent wherever he's gone. So what does the only fallout really is? It helps CD. It helps Tony Pollard. It helps Dak, whoever the Zach guy is. But what about Michael Gallup? Screw Michael Gallup, and this just makes it worse?
I guess. I mean, he was coming off the injury, wasn't great. I mean, either what's more or less about the rookie that they drafted last year, Jalen Tolbert, pretty much. get rid of that guy,
Who's
maybe.
the best?
But yeah, I mean, he's definitely Gallup isn't the number two now. It probably slides into that number three, depending on what they do at tight end. So we'll see. Yeah, definitely doesn't help Michael Gallup. Definitely hurts.
Ferguson.
Yeah,
That's
we'll
who's
see.
the main man down there. So yeah, that was one of the that was a trade that just came over the wire today as we record on Sundays. So we're gonna hit a couple of these pass catchers, see what we're thinking, and what effect it will have on the fantasy landscape, the NFL landscape, and why in the world if we would have paid some of these guys. So let the big talk, and I can't watch NFL TV anymore this week, is because I'm just tired of seeing about Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers. The Packers are wisely like, hey, why are we going to give away a Hall of Famer for peanuts? Like, hey, let's give away Aaron Rodgers. We'll get a 6th round pick. Good. That's a guy we're going to cut. They want the farm. Cool. Because money's make believe. But Rodgers apparently has this laundry list of guys he wants. One of those guys is a Courier favorite, Alan Lazard. So the Jets, they paid a 27-year-old Alan Lazard 4 years, $44 million. Garrett.
I guess if you think he can help you get Aaron Rodgers, I mean, sure, why not go for it? It's not, I mean, now Lazard isn't great by any stretch of the means. He's probably slot in as the three, depending on what they do with Corey Davis, maybe the four. So I don't think it really, I think it hurts Alan Lazard. He's not going to get the targets that he was getting last year, but I mean, at least he'll be Aaron Rodgers' friend, so it won't like he'll be forgotten.
See, I think I'm on the other side. I think what's going to happen here, I have a feeling Elijah Moore is part of the trade. He is going to be a cog going up to Green Bay. Corey Davis is going to get cut. So that makes Alan Lazard the number two. So he is Aaron Rodgers' guy, but I think he will be, I don't think he'll be anything spectacular because Garrett Wilson's the man, right? Yeah. Can
Oh,
Aaron
yeah,
Rodgers
absolutely. I
ignore Garrett
mean,
Wilson? He's.
Lazard had his opportunity last year and he couldn't like break through as the legit number one receiver. And I can't see him going to another team where they already have a number one receiver and being the number one receiver. But I think like he's more of like Aaron Rodgers, like little safety valve type guy when he like something breaks down, you know, he can find him. But Garrett Wilson would be the over the top guy. I mean, he's uber talented.
Does he ask?
Aaron Rodgers isn't that stupid where he's going to ignore well, I'm not going to say the best wide receiver he's had, but a very good wide receiver.
Probably second best, yeah. Third best. Oh my goodness, he's been playing for so long. We're throwing like
We've thrown
Jordy
a laundry list of
and
names.
Anderson, yeah. Jacoby Myers, 3 years, $33 million to be the number two in Las Vegas. He got the same amount of money, just one less year. Is he better
Yeah,
than
just
Alizard?
I would think he's better. I don't know, about
One
the
year
same.
younger.
Maybe a little better. He hasn't had a very good his quarterback play wasn't very good last year, and he still had a decent season. I don't know how much volume he's going to get in Las Vegas with Garoppolo as the number one, or not Garoppolo as number one, but Garoppolo as the QB and Adams as the number one. They did get rid of Waller, so I mean, there goes a lot of targets right there. So I mean, there will be opportunity. You just don't know how many receivers Jimmy Garoppolo can provide for fantasy.
Yeah, it's it. It'll depend upon really if guys go, hey, Jacoby Myers beat us. We're going to put like three guys on Devontae Adams and just lock him down and let Josh Jacobs run the ball a lot. Be my
That's
guy.
possible.
So, speaking of receivers that are interesting and the same age, actually, Jacoby Myers, Juju. Boy, was I wrong on this one. What are the Patriots doing? They're paying him a little bit less than Jacoby Myers, and he's not had the production since he started. 3 years, $25.5 million to be the Patriots decoy.
I mean, who knows? I feel like Juju probably has more of a ceiling than Jacoby Myers. I mean, at least he's proven he could be the he could have a great season. Myers has always been like ho-hum, never really scores a lot of touchdowns. But at least Juju has been, have you seen Juju open it up a little bit? You know, he's been more of the explosive type of guy. That's kind of what they need. They need somebody that can maybe open it up a little bit, but it's Juju over the last couple of years hasn't been great. Their quarterback still isn't great. The only good thing is that they do have an offensive coordinator now, so at least that's a positive.
Yeah, that'll be a wait and see. I mean, it can't be worse than it's been for Juju, right? I mean, Jacoby Myers put up numbers in New England. He's basically, they saved $6 million, or no, $8 million, and replaced Jacoby Myers. So for a guy,
yeah, I mean, it's about the same. I mean, it's a wash. I mean, get rid of one, get the other.
So Brandon Cooks got traded. Robert Woods at 30, almost 31 years old, got 2 years, $15 million from the Texans. Do they just want veteran leadership for the young team coming in?
I mean, maybe they want to give him another opportunity. Maybe they like the guy. I mean, who knows? I feel like it's not a lot of money, but $7 million. I mean, I don't think that's a lot. Well, it's a lot of money to me, but not a lot of money to these guys. You still need older veterans. When they get rid of one, find another. I mean, I guess Texans aren't trying to get too young here, huh? They're just bringing in one old guy for the other.
They don't want that stat, youngest team in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you're paying this guy way less money than you're paying Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, who knows how many targets he was going to get this year anyway. But, I mean, not really too excited.
Nobody takes some decoys away from my boy Nico. Maybe Nico meshes. I think they're drafting a receiver anyway to add in there into that mix as they go. So just a couple other notables. Slayton signed back with the Giants, 2 for 12. Hardy signed with Buffalo because they cut Isaiah McKenzie. So they got Deontay Hardy, who used to be it wasn't Hardy.
I don't know who that guy is. So.
He had another name before. I'm going to have to look him up while you tell me about these four guys. Deontay Hardy signed with Buffalo, 2 years, $9.5 million. He's a quick guy from New Orleans. To take over Isaiah McKenzie, who they gave up on and cut. My favorite, Braxton Berrios, gadget guy, signed with Miami, 1 year, $3.5 million, to be their punt returners, all I can see. Any thoughts on any of those guys while I look up who Deontay Hardy was?
Not really. I think it's interesting that they might have gave up on McKenzie, but other than that, these guys really don't do anything fantasy-wise.
Okay, yeah. Deontay Harris was his name before.
So he changed his name to Hardy?
2 years ago. I think it was during COVID or some point, because he went by Deontay Harris. He was born the December after he graduated high school. But, yeah, so Slayton, I guess they just want the old stalwart there because they did cut Kenny Golladay. So it's only Slayton and my boy. Oh, no, I'm having a brain fart kind of
thing. Isaiah Hodgkins
going on. Hodgins. Speaking of that, we'll have some updates, by the way. I might have to next week bring in. I got some updates coming to my top guys. I got a new guy coming in. You're going to love him. You're going to love him, actually.
All right.
Yeah. Just a spoiler. He plays for your favorite team. So, yeah. So, it's looking at the guys there. People are filling holes. Paris Campbell is still getting paid. Like, he's 4.7. What's he done?
He was actually somewhat productive last year. I mean, if you go by, I mean, it wasn't great, but I can't even talk right now, but what Paris had done previous to last year.
Getting hurt.
I mean, last year, he kind of like broke through a little bit. I mean, he's not super old. I mean, he's still young. So, I mean, maybe if he stays healthy, maybe the rest of his career he stays healthy and he can be a productive receiver.
Oh, and Houston's replacing with Noah Brown as well. Just another name to throw in there. And another crazy guy. Philip Dorsett is 30 years old, by the way, signed with the Raiders. So we talked about tight ends, probably the biggest tight end move, really. I got a couple of numbers here, but was Darren Waller traded to the Giants. They have a young kid in Bellinger who I really liked and thought had a promising future. Are they trying to play Patriot ball? Like, that's the only analogy I really have. Is that what they're going for?
I mean, maybe. I think they just want to give Jones as many, you know, sure-handed targets as possible. Waller not coming off his best season. He was injured a little bit. In this tight end landscape, I'm sure he's still going to be a tight top 10 receiver. He has the potential of being the Giants' number one receiver. He could be number one target guy.
Yeah.
So pass catcher. He helped out Derek Carr. Maybe he can help out on Daniel Jones.
Tell you what, healthy Waller, it could be really good for Daniel Jones. They could put two tight ends in there. It'll help Saquon. It'll help Jones because two sure-handed tight ends, and they can both block. And the funny thing about this is it's almost like the Raiders are just being mean to him because he literally just got married like a month or two ago into a woman who plays for the Vegas WNBA basketball team. So she's stuck there. And he gets to go to New York. She was like, come on, man. A couple tight end signings here. And then we're going to hit some of the college football stuff. Hayden Hurst. Wow. They must have watched some tape in Carolina. But Cincinnati, old Cincinnati Bengal got an old Baltimore Raven. He's got, he's only 29. It seems like he should be like 42, by the way, because he came in later. 3 years, 21 points, almost $22 million from the Carolina Panthers to be CJ Stroud's new tight end.
I mean, Carolina's got to spend their money somewhere. I mean, he's okay. I mean, he has flashes here and there. I mean, not great, but he's a solid piece of a team. I'm not gonna be the number one tight end, but I mean, he's a good fill-in number two type guy.
How about, we were so excited that TJ Hockenson had a great year last year. So he did great for the Vikings. They said, hey, let's throw $21 million at Josh Oliver. Like, what are they doing? Like, that one doesn't make sense. A lot of these, I'm like, okay, that doesn't make sense. They need another receiver.
Like I said, I have no idea. Maybe, like I said, maybe they got a lot of money to spend. They got to give the money somewhere. I mean, they need, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why they do some of the things they do. I mean, if they have Hockenson, maybe they like Oliver and they want to do like a two tight end thing. So, I mean, who knows what freaking Detroit and Dan Campbell like. Dan Campbell like to run the ball, right?
Yeah. So my last two. Oh yeah, no, they're in Minnesota.
I mean, Minnesota. That,
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know why I'm
I was like,
thinking
wait, I'm getting that. Yeah, Dan Campbell likes to
Minnesota.
run the ball. They got some young
Yeah,
tight
yeah, yeah.
ends.
Maybe I should rethink.
The last two might be sneaky guys to keep an eye on in Dynasty or Fantasy somewhere. One's a guy I used to like, but then Josh McDaniels doesn't like him anymore, and he can't block to save his life. So Mike Gesicki is going to be the Aaron Hernandez role in New England. 1 year, $4.5 million. And then another guy who we've had intriguing love and hate with because he shows potential because he's bigger. And Donald Parham, 2 years, they got him on a bargain. Stays in Los Angeles, 2 years, 2.6.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap. I guess they're still waiting for him to break out a little bit. I thought he was going to do a little more last year, but they feel like they just keep bringing in tight ends that keep pushing him farther down the depth chart. So we'll see. I mean, it's super cheap. I mean, $1 million deals a year. So I mean, it's a splash in a bucket. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I like the guy. I'm going to keep rooting for him. I think I still got him on a dynasty team somewhere. Still waiting for him to break out. But.
I look for him to break out because I've heard Everett might or might not be sticking around depending upon salary there as they're trying to move things around. But I thought Gesicki to New England always does decent with tight ends. And when Miami gives New England players, they become really good. So we'll see what happens as we're swapping some players. But it is still Mac Jones. So that would be perfect because he's about 3 yards away from the line of scrimmage. Mac Jones
Yeah.
can't miss him. That's all I got.
Yeah.
So that's our tight ends and receivers. I'm sure some more will sign this week. We might tag in at the opening next week. Next week, get excited. Running backs and quarterbacks, they were super busy. I got like 2 pages worth of people here. And one of them I actually like a dope dropped. I dropped Baker right a few weeks ago going, he's gonna be a backup somewhere and I needed roster space on a team that had too many players and oopsie. So now it's time for our resident expert, JJ Wang, our resident college football expert, JJ Wang. Let's look at some stock up, stock down in the college ranks.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily. I guess it's a stock. I'm not. We did was doing the combine. I feel like the combine is kind of in the past right now. So it's just more of like guys that have been slowly creeping up the list or down a little bit. Since we're going about wide receivers and tight ends, I'll just stick with them. But the first, I'm gonna go over the tight ends. The first guy that I bring up is not necessarily a loser because he performed badly, but more of a loser because they're just a lot of great tight end or a lot of high end tight ends, supposedly. Coming out right now, that's Michael Mayer. I mean, he was okay in the combine. He was okay coming in a little lighter than expected, but still overall the best tight end blocker receiver as far as that goes. But as far as like the receiving tight ends go, I mean, there were several that popped up. You had Zach Kuntz out of Old Dominion. This guy's 6'7", 255. I
Monster.
mean, in the combine, after the combine was over, this is like he had like the best athletic numbers out of any tight end ever. So he's crazy athletic. Not a great blocker, but crazy athletic. So he went to Penn State, where they had Pat Freiermuth. Of course, Freiermuth was the starter. Ended up a Penn State coach ended up going to Old Dominion, brought him with him, and just completely dominated. I mean, like I said, super athletic. Check him out. The other one's Sam Laporta out of Titan University, Iowa. You got Kittle. Hockenson, I mean, it's just crazy. Pretty much the exact same guy. Not a great blocker, great receiver, 6'3", 245. Keep an eye out on him. The last guy, Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State, another tall receiver type, 6'5", 250. These guys are just running super fast at the combine. Not going to be big blockers. Still don't know how that's working out so far in the NFL. As far as like that high athletic tight end type goes, still waiting on Kyle Pitts to break out too. But I still feel like you still need to be able to block as a tight end to get on the field to be able to catch these balls. But as prospects, they're intriguing. They can catch the ball really well and they're really fast. So I know it's your favorite position.
It is. And for me, a lot of these guys, it really is landing spot. The guy I've been watching the most, because he's just so linked to my team, is Darnell Washington, who for out of Georgia, who's shown up a lot. His big skill is blocking. He's an elite blocker coming out of college. So I'm really excited for the rejuvenation. This supposedly is going to be a really good tight end draft. Everything I'm saying that I've been reading and hearing about is like these guys are coming out. We could have some good hit up tight ends that could set the tone for this could be like the tight end year for last year's receiver year.
Could
That
be,
could
yeah.
set the tone for a couple of years, especially after some of the poop we've had come out. The second coming of Tony Gonzalez, who ended up being Kyle falling in the pits. I don't know,
Yeah.
but
Oh my God.
I would tell you, Dynasty guys, if you can get Kyle Pitts,
Oh.
I'd throw some stuff at him. I'm seeing some trades for Kyle Pitts that are just silly as I'm going through some message boards I'm on, just people just giving up and getting him for
I mean,
peanuts.
I'm sure you can find somebody that's given up on him. I mean, if you get lucky, but I still feel like overall, I don't think anybody's ready to give up on him yet because he just gave so much. And the Falcons are kind of trending in the right direction. I mean, we'll see. Maybe not, but we'll see. It's tough.
He's got what, Taylor Heineke?
Switching over to wide receivers here. Like I said, wide receivers were okay. They were not a lot of breakouts. I guess like one of the bigger names or the biggest risers at the moment, Zay Flowers out of Boston College. Talked about him a little earlier. Smaller receiver, 5'9", but he does weigh 182, so he's really stocky.
He's a giant.
Yeah, so he, I mean, stockier guy. He runs a 4.4 fast possession type guy. Got good speed, but like I said, I'm just not a fan of short wide receivers. I mean, it's just. Just hurts. They just don't produce very well. And as far as losers go, there's not a lot. I'm going to give the loser to Jordan Addison for being like the smaller wide receiver, 5'11", 171. You would think he's a burner, right? Barely broke the 4.5, ran a 4.49. Still super fast. I'm not going to say it's not. Still, but being that size, you would think he's more of like a 4.43, 4.42 type guy, but. Like I said, that doesn't seem much, like much of a difference to me. And then the other one, this guy's kind of a weird career. That's Kayshon Boutte. So in 2020, when Ja'Marr Chase took his COVID absence and didn't play, this guy kind of stepped up, had a killer year, over 1,000 yards, double-digit touchdowns. Then after that, he gets injured, comes back. Evidently, he's not running routes correctly. He's lazy. He runs a 4.5 at the combine. So that's kind of slow for a receiver. So it just kind of throws into, him being lazy type. But was an interesting prospect. But as far as, him getting into the NFL, it's definitely a tough road for him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting he came out. He could have stayed another year to solidify himself a little
Yeah,
bit
but
more.
I don't think LSU wanted him back, honestly. I don't think he wanted to be there. They didn't want him back. Like I said, he kind of got that lazy tag. And when you get that lazy tag, I mean, that's got kind of tag. That's a hard tag to break, man. So
You're saying he's the kind of guy I can afford in our dynasty draft where I have no money to buy anybody?
yeah, I think you could probably afford this is your guy. Absolutely.
This is my guy this year, Kayshon Boutte. Just because his name sounds like booty, I like it. So yeah, I mean he's 5'11", buck and you're starting to say, and I was like, man, he sounds like our boy out of Florida State a couple years ago. Had the really good year with Carolina. His rookie year.
I know you're talking about. Yeah, I know
Oh
you're talking.
man,
I
I
can't
can't
remember
think.
the name.
It'll come to me after we stop recording. But it just sounds like the same kind of thing because that was didn't he get nicked later on for just being kind of ornery and
Well,
he had really good rookie.
he kind of got a little overweight. He kind of got a little big. Again, just think when people get big, they kind of get lazy. He looked like a big old tight end out there trying to be wide receiver. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, so I thought that was a. So yeah, it's gonna be cool to Kelvin Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin, there you go.
Yeah, Kelvin, I had him that rookie year. It was beautiful. See, so we are, golly, what are we, about a month and a few weeks away from the draft, when we'll know where these guys are. And Michael Mayer might look like a genius. He might end up landing, who knows, maybe something weird happens and he lands in Buffalo. Dude, his stock goes through the roof. He's a top five draft
Oh,
pick.
that's, I mean, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I'm not saying he's a loser because he did perform, right? It's just there's just so many more tight ends than people really expected to perform this well. I mean, these guys are just so big and fast right now. But at the end of the day, Michael Mayer, he's going to be on the field because he can block. I mean, that's what you want. That's the kind of guy that you need on your team.
Well, that's how Gronk became a superstar. So maybe that'll be, because Gronk wasn't the hands guy. So maybe
Yeah,
that.
we all know George Kittle loves to block, man.
Oh, George Kittle loves block, and Mike Gesicki can't block anything. We could
Yeah,
sign a quarterback on his watch.
that's the thing. That Gesicki is just like Musgrave, Kuntz, Laporta. He's just like those guys. I mean, big, fast receiver type that can't block. So it doesn't work out a whole lot.
You know who one of my favorite I had a love-hate affair for him, Jake Butt. Remember
Big
Jake Butt
butt.
years
I
ago
remember
from
Jake Butt.
Michigan? I had a lot of Jake Butt, and then he really stunk it up. So, okay,
Now,
JJ Wang.
Mike, so is Boutte your Jake Butt volume two?
He might be, just because it's funny. I gotta have a Boutte or a Jake Butt because I'm a 12-year-old boy as I go into it. So, I don't know. I gotta find my guy this year. The guy's got to be someone a little bit later. Someone I haven't fallen in love yet, but I fall in love when they find homes. I don't want to get too excited because then I'll find out, oh yeah, the best receiver in the draft. Well, he's playing for the Houston, I mean, for the Tennessee Titans. Super.
You don't want that guy. Don't want
Tannehill or
that guy.
Malik Willis is throwing to him. Yay!
That's tough.
That's gonna
Poor
be good.
Tennessee, man. Poor Tennessee.
Yeah, so it's cool to hear about these guys. I've kept up with a little more with you, telling me things on this site I really love. So if you haven't done it, NFLDraftBuzz.com, shout out to them. They can give us kudos later on if they ever hear us say this. Maybe I'll hashtag them this week. That's a cool
We can
website.
start hashtagging. I don't hashtag, but we can start hashtagging.
Oh, hashtag
Hashtag
every.
me.
Oh, hashtag NFLDraftBuzz.com. I don't even know what their hashtag is. I'll have to find out. So okay, JJ Wang, give us some wisdom. Let's let these people go on their great week.
Yeah, so I'm gonna skip away from football to the one of the best sporting events, every year. And that's the NCAA tournament. And again, this year doesn't see never ceases to amaze me. In a 16 upset to one,
Okay.
craziness. 14s beating twos. Virginia getting beat again, which always seems to happen. Princeton making a making runs. Kansas getting beat, absolutely crazy. I mean, that's what makes it so fun. Like you just literally. Any team can beat any team. I mean, that's all it takes. It's been proven. I mean, Purdue, one of the best teams in the country, had a 7-4 center, like one of the best players in the country, going up against the smallest
Smallest
team
team.
in college, right? And this team beats them. So, I mean, that's what's great about March Madness. It's just fantastic. So, you don't even have to be a great big sports fan to watch this kind of stuff. I mean, it's just drama built in. That's really all it is. Built for TV. So as always, trust yourself and trust the process.